present.
Commissioner Cooley? Chair Ekstrom?
Yes, he's here.
Commissioner Finch?
Here.
Commissioner Kilkenny? He was here. Commissioner Killian?
There we go.
Commissioner Peterson?
Just pulled in the driveway.
Oh, she did, okay. Commissioner Smith?
Here.
And Commissioner Thompson? Not here yet, okay.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has everyone had time, John, everyone had time to review the minutes? If so, and no changes, minutes are approved as accepted as presented. Not winging it this week, this month?
You did great last month.
You guys missed a real, real barn burner last month on this, so. Good evening, my name is Stacy Ekstrom, Chair of the Morrow County Planning Commission. I'll proceed over tonight's meeting. People who wish to provide testimony may do so orally or in writing. Testimony and evidence may be directed toward the applicable criteria. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision makers and the parties an opportunity to respond to an issue precludes an appeal to the Board of Commissioner on that issue. Please sign, and there's a sheet in the back of the room, and make a note in the chat if you're online if you'd like to present testimony. Please speak only when identified by the chair and begin by giving your name, spelling your name and your address. If you have exhibits, please give those to staff. If you'd like to make a request to the commission to hold open the record or continue the hearing, you must make that request before the public portion of the hearing is closed. This concludes my introduction. I call this hearing to order. The first one is hardship variance HV-05124, Brian and Melissa Kettleson, applicant and owner, and I believe Landon is up for this one.
That's correct. Thank you, Chair. So this hardship variance request is to approve the siting of a small manufactured home or a park model house as a special use temporary hardship dwelling for the applicant's mother-in-law for close at-hand care. The property is owned rural residential and is outside of the Irrigan urban growth boundary. As far as the rural residential zone criteria go, staff have recommended a condition that the applicant shall abide by all of the yard and setback requirements that are listed in that zoning, and that the hardship variance dwelling will comply with all of the dimensional standards, such as lot coverage, height, and minimum frontage. Okay. This temporary hardship is not going to have any permanent effect on the zoning in the area. This use is permittable on other properties as well. It's not given any special privilege. Application was submitted with a signed doctor's statement that the mother-in-law would require daily care for her safety. Hooking up the dwelling to services, electricity is available at the site. Water is going to be obtained through the existing well, and the applicant is proposing to hook up into their existing septic system, and staff recommend a condition that the applicant meet with Umatilla County Public Health and confirm that that's going to be okay on their septic load prior to a zoning permit approval. For A3, planning department has listed as a condition of approval that the applicant should let the planning department know when the hardship is no longer needed, because it needs to be removed within 90 days of that hardship ending. And we've also made a condition of approval that the applicant notify the planning department if the hardship's not needed, if the mother-in-law who the hardship is for is gone for longer than 120 days or leaves the residence without the likelihood of returning for 30 days, so we can close that out and get the hardship dwelling removed from the property. If the applicant chooses to renew this application in the future, it'll be reviewed administratively, so we won't need another planning commission hearing for it. We can send out notice administratively to adjoining landowners and affected agencies. The applicant is proposing to site the hardship dwelling within 100 feet of the dwelling, so that complies with those standards. And we have listed conditions of approval that the applicant obtains proper zoning and building permits and receives a rural address for E911 access for this hardship dwelling. And the validity of this hardship temporary permit is through July 30th of 2026, and the planning department will provide a minimum of a 30-day notice that their temporary use permit is about to expire. All the conditions that I've stated are listed below.
I did forget if anyone had any extensions or complex to list them. I skipped right over the highlighted and something to hear, so. Alrighty, I invite the applicant to present testimony and evidence if in the audience. And they're not. Okay. Any opponents to this in the audience? And I don't think so, because I know who's in the audience. So, anyone on Zoom? Nope. Okay, at this time, I invite the commission to ask the staff any questions. Very talkative group today. I'll do all the talking. anyone like to continue to have the hearing remain open? If hearing none, we will close the public hearing. Any additional questions? Okay, if not, I would call for a motion and just say that we need to fix the numbering on the form.
The numbering, and sorry, Chair, I also forgot to update just the page before the conditions. I have the date wrong for the term of length in the
page 12 in your packet.
Yes,
the top part or the which part down below?
So I need to change the expiration date to January 31st, which is what it requires.
Oh, from this, okay.
You need to change it or not?
I need to change their expiration date to January 31st of that.
Our process, we have them all expire on the same day, so we can just, in one fell swoop every year, look at each of those hardship variances. So it's January 31st.
So this is actually page 13, not...
Well, the correction, the date, the correct date's on page 12, the correction will be on page 13.
Okay.
Thank you. So do I have a motion on this?
A motion we pass with the recommendations that were made and the correction of the application or the finding of fact.
So I have a second on the motion?
Second.
The motion has been made and seconded. Everyone in agreement? Or?
You can say aye.
And opposed? Same sign, motion passed. So, okay, thank you on that one. So next, we have conditional use permit CUP N370-24 Rafael Calavillo, applicant owner. At this time, do we have any abstentions, conflicts of interest? If not, Tamara?
Yes, it is mine. Thank you, Chair. For the record, I'm Tamara Mabbitt. I'll present the staff report on this one. Mr. Calavillo is requesting as a home occupation permit, permission to operate a small commercial trucking business. He has two truck and trailer units in the suburban residential zone within the West Glen subdivision. And this is similar but different than a Calavillo application the Planning Commission approved in May. I think it was.
May was a work session.
March, okay, a couple months ago. The difference between that application and this application is the legislative and code updates that the Planning Commission approved and the board adopted became effective in April. And so this application is subject to the SR1 zone has changed a little bit. Stephen has the map up on the website, and we've had two letters. The City of Boardman submitted a letter last Friday, and that was forwarded to you, I think, yesterday. And they've pointed out that the approval of this would be in direct conflict with the new language that is effective in our code that reads, in the suburban residential zone, commercial trucks and trucking businesses are not an allowed use. But it does go on to say a landowner may be allowed to use a truck or tractor unit as personal transportation to the resident parcel. No more than one truck or tractor unit is allowed per parcel. I haven't included in your packet, but I have a copy of the Code Enforcement Corrective Action Plan. So a couple years ago when the Planning Department, with the board's support, initiated a neighborhood-wide code enforcement effort, there were three different neighborhoods, the West Glen is one. We got terrific compliance out of one neighborhood just south of Irrigan. And it has not been as easy in the West Glen, and primarily because of a large number of people, about a dozen remaining, I think, still are operating commercial trucking businesses. So, Stephen, could you pull up those amended findings? So, in your packet on page 34, there's a very basic site plan with proposed truck parking, shows the existing house. Thank you, Stephen. And so the parking would really be along Hilltop Drive. So one of the conditions that are recommended is to get an access permit from the County Public Works Department, even though it's not a county-maintained road, it's a public road, so we still go through an access permit process for that. So what you have on the screen, we didn't make paper copies, but based in large part on the comment letter from the City of Boardman, I added to the findings some language, the language that I just read to you from the suburban residential zone. Can you scroll down a bit, Stephen? Next page. And then I just added a finding. Oh, yeah, right there. I made myself a copy of it. And just acknowledge that it was pointed out by the City of Boardman. And this is important also because this property is in the Boardman's urban growth area. So as we do with all cities, we have a formal agreement that we provide notice to them. And they have much more of a vested interest in how properties developed in the urban growth area than they might areas that are not within the urban growth area. So what I noted here is that in addition to the findings that you have in your packet, you could scroll down a little bit, Stephen, where you see the next red. So the amended language is there in red. Right there. So, I added some language about temporary uses. We have this special provision in our code. It's intended to allow temporary uses. So if the Planning Commission's inclined to approve this, I'd request that you adopt standards, both the conditional use standards for the home occupation and also for the temporary use. Because we have adopted that code provision that specifically does not allow commercial trucking businesses. But when we made that code provision, we also said if a person wants to use a truck or a truck and trailer as their personal mode of transportation, they could have one of those. So really, technically, Mr. Calvillo is asking for one additional one. So he could have the one. As staff, we felt pretty comfortable with that. We also know that complying by these rules is a hardship. So approving this as a temporary use, a year or up to 3 years, at least gives Mr. Calvillo time to find another piece of property. He has been very cooperative and has also signed a corrective action plan that says, yes, I recognize there's a violation and I'm trying to correct it. So that corrective action plan expires in the end of September. If this were approved, we could acknowledge that he's in compliance, at least for the first year or up to three, depending on how you chose to do that. Could you scroll down to the conditions, Stephen? Right there. Okay. And then I also made a few changes to the conditions. When we asked for testimony of Mr. Calvillo or his lovely niece, Margarita, who's helped us before, I'd like to get their input on whether that first condition is even reasonable. I know a lot of trucking operations start a lot earlier than 8 o'clock. So that might, we might want to look at changing that. And the second condition there is that they have no more than two trucks and two trailers. And the third is, you know, to keep it quiet. They're not supposed to be, you know, generally working on their rigs outside, air guns and those sorts of things, which are pretty disruptive to a neighborhood. The fourth, the red is the new language, or the red would replace the language that was in the packet that was mailed to you that has a 5-year limitation. Number five is if they put up a sign, they need to comply with their sign standards. Number six is that, oh, thank you, Stephen. Can you see me struggling to read that? Number six is that they secure access permits for the parking area because they want that separate from the driveway for their house. And then number seven, asking them to submit a final site plan. And I just added to show the drain field because you don't want those heavy trucks parked over your drain field. So that really concludes my staff report. I did want to point out that this one is a little bit different, again, than the one we approved earlier this year. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions at this time?
Tamara, could you elaborate a little bit on Boardman, that letter?
And recording in progress.
Why they said, you know, they didn't want this, or what they're implying or suggesting?
You bet, Commissioner Finch. It's, like I mentioned, it's in their urban growth area, and the city has a very strict rule about not allowing trucks inside the city limits in residential areas, so they're allowed in commercial and industrial areas, and the city has a very limited inventory of commercial and industrial areas. So they asked the county to not allow it, but then gave us a little bit of wiggle room and said, if you do allow it, we'd like you to adopt some findings that demonstrate how you could comply, even though there's a pretty clear standard that doesn't allow trucking businesses. the city has no imminent plans to annex that property into the city limits. The city manager is he's a very diplomatic person and called me and said, look, this is just business, nothing personal. We just want to make sure that we go on the record to show we're not supportive of trucking businesses. So that's also why in the findings, if this property were to change ownership or be annexed, the city would not allow the trucking business. As a matter of fact, that's in the findings, but not in the conditions of approval. Did that explain any better, Tripp?
Number four.
Yes, thank you.
And then we also, I think the last one, that if ownership changed, it wouldn't be. Didn't we have that?
Mm-hmm. Landon pointed out, because he helped me with these. All the errors on here are mine, not Landon's, even though we have them. So on number four, you're exactly right. It says if ownership changes, the permit would not follow the ownership. That's really contrary to what we typically do. But in this instance, we're trying to weigh the pros and cons and balance things. So lots of people in that area are out of compliance. We're just trying to find a more gentle way and phase them out of having their trucking businesses in that neighborhood.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I invite the applicant to present testimony and evidence. Please remember to state your name, address, and spelling.
Both of us?
You're speaking, so.
Both of us? Yeah. This is my uncle. His name is Rafael Calvillo, C-A-L-V-I-L-L-O. Address is 70120 Ridgecrest Road. My name is Margarita Calvillo. We are here today to apply for the home occupation permit, similar to my dad's. That was a couple months ago in April, I believe it was, with the understanding and knowledge that it was going to be a little bit more difficult since it is part of the Boardman Urban Growth boundaries. With my uncle, we've had discussions about if the city were to be annexed, and we are still currently looking for a property to buy, just because he is obviously a lot younger than my father is as well. So we are still currently looking for a property if something were to become available to purchase that. So this isn't just an end game for us. We got this permit and that's that. It's to support and help him get more time. He has the little, his home occupation business that he works out of home. He also takes care of an uncle that is mentally challenged. So this is a job that he decided to do since it was, you know, he can take a load when he needs to take a load. He can take the days off when nobody else is available to take care of that uncle of ours. He understands, like I said, it is part of the urban growth and has not stopped looking for a property to purchase. We just, you know, like we had talked before, selling trucks and trailers in such a short amount of time or finding a property is a very difficult task, as we found out over the last 6 months. As to the proposed opening, I believe he wanted to do that same opening on Ridgecrest. I don't know if that's an option. I think that's what I was understanding from the map that they have here.
The access?
Yeah, the access point.
Okay.
Is where he was wanting to open. It would be off of Ridgecrest as well.
Okay.
If that's possible. If not, we could definitely look about going through the Hilltop Drive and getting permission from Public Works. The other thing on that is with the, as Tamara had spoken, that language had just recently changed in the findings. And as I've stated before, you know, a lot of the people who have the trucking businesses up there are very limited to the languages and understandings. And so, as I've said before, you know, when they got that first letter, a lot of them didn't know if that was a warning, if it was, you know, something that was going to happen immediately. And, you know, honestly, to be very fair, they're for the most part, try to stay busy. So sometimes if it's, oh, it's not affecting me in the moment, you know, let's just keep working and we'll see what happens. Well, now here we are.
So, yeah.
Here we are. So yeah, other than that, at the moment, the permit, it would be requesting the two trucks and trailers. He is the only sole driver of the business. He does operate his office work from the house. And the trucks are parked there, and they do exit the... ¿A qué hora sales lo más temprano?
Yo a las seis. De las seis a las seis llevo.
His hours that he normally either comes in or out is from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's around that. He'll either leave, and it's not a coming back and forth three, four, five times a day. It's normally leaving once and coming back once. That's what I got for right now.
Okay, thank you. Questions? And I have a question. Where's the current? Where do you currently come out?
Same where the
is it the same as the house driveway?
Is that where the trucks right now currently have been parked. He doesn't take them all the way in. He can if he does. He normally parks them off the side. There's a good amount of space between the road and his property line where the fence is backed up where he can normally park. But with reviewing the other things in the zoning ordinances about off-site parking, that's where he decided he was wanting to open that up.
Okay.
If it got permitted.
Okay. I have a question. Mainly it's just so that it's on the record. Regarding your search for land, what have you found?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. I've looked for about 4 or 5 months now. Anything that is available is very expensive. Most people know that industrial lots are really big right now because I don't think it's just here. I think it's because I've done quite a bit of research now. I think it's all throughout the United States that they've been cracking down on small trucking businesses where a lot of people do operate from their residency and the cities and counties are trying to put a stop to it. A lot of people do it in the bigger cities where there's more traffic, which is more understandable, and they don't do it. So what people have started doing is any industrial lots that they have, any commercial, they rent them. They don't sell them anymore. It's not not an easy market to find.
Thank you.
Any additional questions?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So you said typical hours are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Leave at 6, come back at 6,
around,
long
yeah.
days. Usually in and out once, not multiple times.
Correct.
Yeah. So we might want to...
No.
Okay. Don't come home for lunch.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
Lunch? What's that?
What? Yeah. And his business is year-round, not seasonal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I guess that's my... because 8 to 5 is not I appreciate someone... If we all got to work 8 to 5, that'd be fantastic, but...
Okay. I want to change that. And
that is something we need to... I guess I'll go through the rest and then we'll come back.
Perfect.
Is that best?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I invite anybody, I know nobody here is to testify as an opponent. And anybody online? I don't know who's there. Okay. Any neutral? Okay. So now I am... ask for any if we have anyone would like to continue the hearing or hold the record open. If not, we'll close the public hearing. So I do any questions, staff? I guess my main one is if we do choose to approve with the conditions, we need to come up with a different one for number one. So I guess I need to know, and I think that if we can put in that it's not an in and out, that it's not,
okay.
I don't know if that,
it's
if
really
it looks better on the, it would make it look, the record shows mm-hmm. that we know that it's not a coming back in and out multiple times, but I don't think the 8 to 5 is.
No.
Okay.
So I could add that in the background information
okay.
that the business is
yeah, we could add that somewhere.
You bet.
That it's mm-hmm. not it's not seasonal. It's a leave in the morning, come back at night. Is 6 a firm number? Like a 7 to 6 is 7 to 6 workable?
No.
I guess I'm just one of people
thinking.
A la seis.
Yeah,
6.
Okay. So I guess I that's the only, that would work from there.
Okay. And then we have all of those other red lines that were, we showed. So if the Planning Commission wants to approve, it would be to adopt the findings as amended to also show compliance with the temporary use standards.
Okay. Any other questions?
The other thing you mentioned, you mentioned about this not being transferable on the finding but on the condition. Explain the difference to me. Can you make that again? This use is not transferable.
It is written in condition 4. Was that the question, John?
Yeah, we couldn't hear it. You cut in and out.
Yeah, that was my point. That it not so that I'm watching this on my phone, so I'm sorry, I can't see very well.
Okay. Yeah, so I think
it's not transferable, and that is a condition.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I have a question about number 4. The word or, so this permit is valid for 5 years or 1 year with an opportunity to renew up to 2 times. So which is it? Is it 5 years or is it 1 year? Or am I just not reading that right under number 4?
Sure, if I might. Yes, I think you're reading it correctly. I think you need to pick one.
So we would need to decide then which one goes in there?
Yes, and I added the red language because that's the specific language in our temporary use Article 7. I think originally you were expecting the 5 years.
Yeah, well, like I said, we're hoping for the 5 years. That doesn't necessarily mean that we will need up to the 5 years, mm-hmm. hopefully. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with the way things are going and the way things have been going, I don't even know where 5 years is gonna take us or 3 years is gonna take us. Mm-hmm. Property opens up and it sells fast, and you know, right now at this time you have 20 different people fighting for a property to open up. So maybe even more, because there is more people that are on suburban residential or residential, rural residential areas that have truck and trailers that just haven't been found yet, right? So, and when they do get found, it's everyone's fighting for one piece of property. So I honestly, you know, don't know.
What is your
well, unlike the conditional use that we approved for the previous Cabrillo, mm-hmm. we do have a more rigid code language. So in order to reconcile those, I think we really need to go with the 3 years.
The one in it, yeah.
So, and then at the end of that 3 years, you know, we'll have to figure out what to do.
Okay.
If they haven't found a piece of property.
That was my question. Can they come back and apply at the end of 3 years?
I think they could. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any additional questions? Okay, with that, I would ask for a motion.
I move that we approve the permit here, CUP-N-370-24, to allow the home occupation permit adjustment here with the on number 4 and the conditions of approval to 3 years instead of 5, with the opportunity to renew.
Sure. Okay. And the amended findings.
And the other amended
findings.
Yes. Okay. I've had a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign? Motion passed. Thank you.
Can I ask a quick question? I don't know if that's fine. With the opening on Ridge Crest, is that okay?
Yes.
Or
okay.
Do we still need an access permit for that?
Do they have an access permit? Are you going to have them side by side or shared?
I think, though, vas a tener una entrada acá y otra acá, ¿verdad? They're going to be separate.
Oh, okay. Then we'll need access. I can visit with you a little bit, and then they can continue with the hearing. I'll just bring my map right here.
Now, we are on to conditional use permit, CUPN 37224 Turner Ranch. Applicant Todd and Missy Lindsay is owner. Do I have any abstentions or conflicts of interest? Hearing none. Daisy?
Your turn.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioners. So this is a conditional use permit. This one's a little bit unique because it's not something we would typically be able to approve. It's essentially a temporary RV park on EFU land. But recently, the Energy Facility Siting Council, through direction from the Oregon Department of Energy, has instituted a new rulemaking that allows temporary housing, on-site and off-site workforce housing, to accommodate the projected workforce that is needed for the installation of renewable energy generation facilities. So as you guys are all aware, we're getting a lot of these large-scale, state-approved wind and solar facilities, and we've submitted comments on several of them. But one of the primary concerns that we've had is that a lot of these are requiring up to like 100 or more employees at a time for 3 months to 3 years to construct these wind turbines or solar panels. And so this is one solution to that problem, is rather than allowing them to just park sort of willy-nilly on EFU land, like outside of what our code allows, this sort of gives them a path forward to have a permitted, addressed, like RV parking area. And so this application was submitted by Turner Ranch, and it's on property that was identified by the applicant, who holds a certificate from the Energy Facility Siting Council, or EFSEC, that allows them to do this. So we kind of went back and forth on the proper process for this because it's very new and the state doesn't really give us a lot of parameters for approving these. So we're sort of flying by the seat of our pants, but in direction through our Land Use Council and also with the Oregon Department of Energy, we've decided that sort of the appropriate route to go would be to bring it to you guys in the form of a conditional use permit to get approval for the use. So I can answer any questions that you have, but the approval would be for 7 to 10 RVs, and the conditions include a requirement that the land be reverted back to an allowable EFU use after the construction is finished, unless it's renewed for a different, like, energy facility, for example.
When would they, do they have a starting time they're going to do it?
Yeah, so from what we've heard, there's already people that are, like, parking on other properties that need space to park their RVs, that aren't able to find housing in, like, adjacent cities. So I'm assuming that these would come online as soon as possible, like, within the next couple of months. And we would see a lot of that migration from other parking areas. But they already have employees out there doing the temporary laydown yards and really getting started on the construction. So, as soon as possible.
So after 3 years, if it's still going, I mean, we're obviously looking at other projects that are going to go past those 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can they go in and extend that?
Yeah, so the phrasing of the expiration date is that it's valid for 3 years or until the facility commences commercial operation in accordance with the EFSEC site certificate. So they have to go through an extension process through EFSEC in order to extend their. So if it's taking longer or they need an extra year, they go through that process through EFSEC. And once they get their commencement of commercial operation certificate or whatever they call it, that would be their final approval after they get their building permits, after they get their final certificate of occupancy. We would consider that to be the expiration of their ability to utilize these RVs as workforce housing.
So what about, I didn't really see in here, but I did look close to the septic.
It's on page.
They're going to help bring that up.
It's going to be a cover truck.
Oh, yeah. Like they do at the park in Iowa. Okay. Yeah.
It's on this.
Okay. All right. We're going to, yeah. And we have, okay. have 40 spaces of my own. So
yay.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
Nothing at the vegetation because there's no vegetation there.
I know.